Broadcasting from the historic 1047 studios nestled in beautiful downtown Valley City, it's the Toast and Jam Podcast. 30 minutes of local sports, trivia, news, and special guests. Hosted by Tim Oast and Paul McDonald. Sit back, relax, and let the fun begin.
Woohoo! Hey, it is time again for Toast and Jam from the 1047 studios in beautiful downtown Valley City. And always nice to have you along. I'm Tim Oast, or Toast, and here's Paul McDonald. He is the jam part of this thing.
I don't claim nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Nothing?
No.
Wow.
Just in my taxes, I didn't claim a thing.
You're easy maintenance.
Very much so.
I like that. And again, executive producer is Eric Kringley. Thank you so much. And on our podcast today is our good friend Rocky Gable of the Thundering Saints. Rocky, nice to have you along here this morning.
It's
appreciate
to be here.
It. Yeah. And it's good to be here, period, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know all about that.
Yeah. Rocky went through some health issues, but he's on the recovery, and we're really liking that. Thundering Saints have been very busy donating a lot of money to many charitable causes. And I'm just going to list a few, Rocky, okay? I know you did a nice donation to the Valley City Barnes County Public Library. Was that 20 grand?
Yeah,
20 grand, yeah. And 20 grand to the Enderlin Fire Department, that the most recent.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and you've given all kinds of money to other charitable contribution places like JRMC. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also hospice. Thundering Saints, an awesome organization, huge heart. Any idea how much you've donated over the years? Ballpark figure, maybe?
Just under 2 million.
Really?
Yeah.
2 million. Guys got big hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
Well, and it's all due to our people that help.
Yeah.
You know, our participants with the gaming machines and the fundraisers we do. And
that was my next question.
All right.
What makes this thing work and your involvement with it?
Well, we started out in 2009 when my wife passed away, and we did bike rides, did raffles, we did all kinds of different events to try to raise money at that time it was mostly hospice because they helped me through my wife, her struggle with cancer. So that was our first initiation of it. And so we started doing bikes, runs, and then we did raffles. And then in 2014, I may be a little cloudy on that exact date, but we started gaming machines with a pull tab machine at Boomer's Corner Keg. And realizing with that we didn't need to have so many volunteers to generate more money, we started going out and pursuing different sites and different places. Some would come to us, and I think now we have 6 sites and 50 machines, and we generate the money that we're able to give out to different organizations. Like Tim said, we just gave a bunch to different fire departments around the area, and we work with hospice and whoops.
That's a scary ringtone.
Yeah, believe me, I can.
Is it your doctor?
It actually is. But I'll wait.
Okay. You know, we were talking about how you had to wait all the time.
Yeah,
he's gonna on hold.
Well, yeah. Sorry.
We're busy.
Yeah, we're busy right now. But that helps us a lot with money that we use to donate to different organizations. A lot of individuals we help out along the way, and we hope to continue that. So, yeah.
Who are those gaming locations?
Boomer's Corner Keg.
Okay, I'm going to back up there a little bit. Of course, Boomer lost his life to cancer.
Yes.
And it's interesting how you started there.
Yes. Well, yeah, he didn't want anybody to really be in there for gaming. And I grew up with Mark. He was my classmate in high school, and everybody said, well, just ask him. So I went in there and asked him, and he said, yeah, let's try it. So we did it, and he's one of our biggest starts. You know, he was really supportive. So then it just kind of went on from there. Some facilities called us, and we pursued other ones, which we continue doing.
Yeah,
you know. So,
yeah.
But it's Boomer's Corner Keg, the Labor Club, Bridges Bar and Grill, Litchfield's Rusty Spur, Catherine Saloon and Eatery. It's Enderlin, Maple River Saloon, and Eatery. And the Catherine is the Cheyenne Saloon and Eatery.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's the ones we have now. We have some coming up that we think we're going to be adding on to our agenda here. So, but I'll talk about that later. So
yeah, and those games sure seem to be popular.
Oh, they are. And like I say, without people's participation in playing them and just all the support we get is incredible.
It is, and people know that too. You know, it's going for a good cause.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And we do bingo and meat raffles and... we do that mostly all year round, except we take the summer off, and that's another big supporter. You know, you got to have people to help with that or come to it, and mm-hmm. So that's something we do. We don't do it at all the facilities, just the ones that want to do it, and so we wind up working about 7 days a week. You know, so but it, I guess it's worth it.
So it isn't a one man operation.
Oh no. Okay. We've got right now we don't need, like I said, we don't need the volunteers we used to have. You know, we used to have 25 or 30 volunteers or more selling raffle tickets and things, and now there's about four or five of us. My main person is Leah Fadness. She's our gaming manager. Without her, it'd be tough.
Yeah, she's a rock star. Definitely.
Yep.
And you know, there's so many things that need to be done with this.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
It's just I don't know if you get involved with any kind of things that involves the state, but
right.
You got to have your I's dotted and T's crossed with them, and she takes care of that. So.
Ducks in a row. That's right. Exactly. How many? You know, we talked about Hospice of the Red River Valley, and your tie with that. Now, you also said you made a donation to one of the houses that they put together in Fargo.
Yeah, they started a facility down there. It's I forget the dollar amount. It's like a $25 or $30 million facility, and it's going to house 14 families that for just a week at a time between.
Okay.
When hospice when you're in hospice care, you usually work in out of your home, and if the people that are a caregiver for a person, they can take a break and they can move their person that has cancer into this facility,
okay.
And then the family can move in with them for a week, and who's ever taking care of her can actually take a break for a week or so to kind of catch up with life and things. And
right.
And we were sponsoring a room down there, and the facility's
nice.
Called the Heather House. It's a beautiful. We just toured it last week, and it's just an awesome, awesome place, you know. And we're really fortunate to be part of that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I guess my goal when my wife passed away was to keep her name alive, and that's what I try to do.
You sure have done that with the many things that you're doing right now. Jamestown Regional Medical Center, also the Cancer Center.
Yes.
You mentioned that too.
Yes, that's a big part of our mission is to help them out. They've got a cancer wing now that we've been able to contribute to, and it's huge. For the people around here that can be more local, I know when Debbie was doing it, she's driving to Fargo every day, and it's winter driving, it's whatever. You have to be
right.
There. I mean, and... I don't know if, that's a great one. But the local one,
mm-hmm.
The CHI, Mercy Hospital Infusion Center,
yeah,
huge for us being
right.
Local with that.
And, you bet.
And the fact that these people in town here can be at home, you know, and Debbie would just love that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, when you need an infusion, it's not like sometime, it's like now, you know, it's life-saving, it's got to happen. And so if it's inclement weather or whatever the case may be, you got to get there.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
For the
that doctor wants you bad.
For the local people.
Now it's the pharmacist saying it.
I got to get this thing out there. It's on.
You want to hold that mic up a little bit?
Yeah.
There we go.
So that was the latest thing that I really, really appreciate and work hard for, you know. And
you
all this, like I say, we work 7 days a week, and it's always on our minds, and
so
to be able to get this kind of rewards is awesome.
Well, for the people that never got to know Debbie, tell us about Debbie. What kind of a person was she?
Well, she was pretty quiet. She worked at the Motor Vehicle and Credit. Well, she graduated from Valley City High, which she actually had a perfect, and it made me sick, but she had a perfect attendance record. She never missed a day of school from kindergarten to 12th grade. And when I started going with her in senior high, I like not getting to school once in a while. So I would try to
skip. A little hooky once
exactly,
in a while.
Like a beautiful May day when it's sunny and I didn't want to go back to class. And I'm pretty sure I was going to graduate.
So, pretty sure.
Yeah, pretty sure. It was always that open report card every year, like, you will be going to that next grade. All right, yeah. So,
oh, summer
yeah.
school.
Yeah. And so she had a perfect attendance. And wow. I couldn't talk her into skipping. And anyway, so she was a heck of a student back in them days. I mean, she was a 4.0 student, and she was just a great girl. But she worked for the Motor Vehicle and License Bureau. And she did that for, oh, I don't know, probably 15 years. And then I had a masonry contracting business. My dad mm-hmm. and my brothers, we all kind of started it way back in the 80s. And then that kind of took off. And we needed a bookkeeper, so she quit that job and moved out to, we built a place out in the country, and she did that. And then we did a lot of bike riding. She loved dogs and chickens and... Hmm. And then she got cancer in 05. And
what kind of cancer?
Ovarian.
Ovarian, okay.
And she fought a battle for 3 years, and in 09 she passed away from it. So that's how this all started.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm sure she's looking down and saying thank you very much.
Hopefully.
You know, I'm sure she is. Yeah. Anything else you'd like to pass along that you have written down there?
I guess I'd like to talk about the ride a little bit.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
We're starting up a ride again. We quit in COVID, back in COVID. We just didn't feel right getting a bunch of people together. And it was kind of up to us and other bike clubs to do it. Some did, some didn't, and we decided not to. So this year we're starting up the first ride since then. On the 21st of June, we're going to start at the Veterans Memorial Park, and we're going to register at 9 o'clock, kickstands up at 12, and then we're going to, we don't have our sites quite determined yet, but okay. we're going to try to put on about 150 miles.
Nice.
And we're going to try to have about 4 stops, and then we're going to come back to Boomer's Corner Keg, and we'll have lunch there and a street dance. The name of the band is Dan Brecky.
Okay.
And supposed to be, never heard him, supposed to be a great band. I guess he was going to open for Big and Rich up at the casino, and they mm-hmm. canceled that. So I'm really looking forward to that. That's going to start at 8:30 and end at 12.
Okay. If somebody's listening, would like to join in on that thing, what do they have to do?
Go to Facebook.
Okay.
And we're on Facebook. We do have a website. We just don't keep it up as much as we'd like to. The Facebook's a lot easier for people to negotiate.
Yeah, you bet.
And we'll keep that updated. We have posters on it right now. And as we get closer, we'll put more on it. But
how about numbers? What did you usually do in the past for bikers?
Well, it started out with, we got up to about 210 bikes. And it got to the point where it was... hard to manage, yeah. you know, when you got that. But we're lucky we're in a local area. So we have crossing guards that Randy Johnson in town here kind of heads that crew up. And they do a great job where they block off roads as we're going through and get the parking lined up at places. And I guess it's been anywhere between that 210 mark down to 50 bikes, you know. So when we quit or didn't have it anymore because of COVID, we had about, I think, about 50 bikes at that time.
Okay.
And so we're excited now to see how it's going to go again, mm-hmm. you know. And
I think it's going to be big.
Yeah,
I really do.
And now it's going to be better for us as a group because we're always biting our fingernails trying to get numbers for money, you know.
Right.
And now it's going to be more of a celebration than a fundraiser, yeah. you know. So that's about all I can think of, you know, I guess.
Yeah, the pressure's off, you know, you don't have to worry about
the
amount of money raised, and you just go out there and have fun.
Oh, when we used to give the bike away, I'd be sweating bullets till we sold about the first 1,000 tickets, then after that I go, well, at least pay for
okay,
the
we
bike,
got it covered.
Know? Yeah, exactly.
I think I bought a few of those tickets. I never won a bike.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't see you on a bike.
Yeah.
No, I can't either.
it's a blast. And you don't, one thing I should mention that people don't realize, you don't need a bike to go on the ride.
Right,
right.
you know, anything, as long as it can, you know, you hate to come out
four-wheeler, whatever, huh?
Anything. Yeah. And just in cars.
Classic
cars, they bring them, and they don't always have to stop at every stop, you know, and when it gets closer to the, like I say, the day, we'll have it all ironed out where we're all going, but, you know.
Okay. June 24th. 21st.
Okay. Saturday.
Yep. Saturday, the 21st of June.
It's going to be a beautiful day.
It is.
I hope so.
I'm looking at the forecast, sunny 85, so no wind.
What?
Yeah.
All really? Right. Yeah. Is that, all right. Is that on your little globe, or do you actually have a forecast?
You know, we're...
So am I going to win the lottery tomorrow?
Yeah.
If you're into predicting things.
Yeah, exactly. These old radio guys just have a knack of picking out the right days.
Yeah, good. I hope you're right.
Okay, well, again, Rocky, thank you so much for coming in this morning. We appreciate that, and we appreciate what you do for Valley City and the area.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean,
well,
it's been great.
Like I say, Tim, it's all about you guys helping us, you know, and we're able to give back, and that's the biggest part. It's a big group effort, you know, and we hope it can continue, and we can have a little fun, too, you know. I mean, it's a grim task, cancer, but... You know, if you can give them some kind of hope and help them out somewhere along the line, it's nice. So, thanks for having me.
Hey, you know? It's always great. It's been a great relationship too, and we will continue that relationship,
awesome.
Of course.
Awesome, great.
And you got the right name to fight this thing, and that's
Rocky.
Yeah. There you go, kick its butt.
Kidding. Yeah. Thank you so much, Rocky, and you can stick around, or if you have to go, you might want to get back to the doctor.
You bet. Thank you, Rocky.
Take care, Rocky. All right, Rocky Gable with the Thundering Saints, and always a joy to have him in here. And many people thankful for what the Thundering Saints are doing in the area. Let's... take a look at some of the local sports review time. Do you have some information for us there, Paul? First name. Oh my goodness!
He's got a novel going on there. I will paraphrase
the shorter version.
We'll give you the Reader's Digest version here. First, congratulations to the Valley City State University trap team. They won the state championship here this past week. That was teams from. Bismarck State, University of Jamestown, WAP Science, UMary, Dakota College of Botno, Dickinson State, NDSU, and they were overall state champion. Well, the overall state championship was claimed by Science, but Valley City State trap team won the state championship. So there was trap in a couple of divisions, but they won the American trap, and it is their second state title over the last 3 years. And Ty Iwander, that's an Oaks name.
It is.
That's a VCSU kid. He was selected to represent VCSU in the shoot-off and secured the team's division state championship.
You know, those North Dakota kids know what they're doing when it comes to trap shooting.
And Iwander, that's a big wrestling name in Oaks.
It is.
So congratulations to the trap team. Baseball team, I was just talking with Alec DeMaria when we stopped to have our cup of joe here this morning. And the baseball coach at VCSU, I thought they played Dickinson State this week in the conference tournament. They play Bellevue, and the reason why is, I don't know if you heard him tell us, there's two teams from California that are part of the North Star.
Oh, really?
They're not in the rankings, in the standings I looked at, because I just looked at the North Star. So there's two teams from California, so it's an eight-team tournament. And VCSU finished 4-16 in the conference, 20-30 overall, and they get Bellevue in the opening round. This will be all going out at Astoria Field out in Dickinson. Softball team, they'll be out in Dickinson for their conference tournament this weekend. They finished fourth in the conference, 22-21 in the overall, and 11-9 in the conference. Track, they had three top eight finishes at the NDSU Open last weekend. One of them, Ari Brotrude. A Valley City boy.
Yeah.
He finished a sixth in the javelin. So congratulations, Dari. They'll be tomorrow here as we talk on Tuesday the 29th. Yeah. Tomorrow the 30th, they'll be at the Bismarck tune-up. And then, of course, all of their conference meet coming up down the road. Golf, they are in Bismarck right now at the conference tournament at Woodland Hills.
Woodland Hills, okay.
I said in Bismarck. I'm sorry. That's in Nebraska. They're down in Nebraska at Woodland Hills in Nebraska. Now, this is the spring portion of the conference tournament. The first two rounds are in the fall.
Right.
And now the next two rounds are here in the spring. And, of course, Jamestown coached by our buddy, Jared Lentz. Yeah. They're right now second in the men's division and in the women's division. Mm. So good luck to the golfers. They're down at their conference tournament.
He's having a nice first year.
Pardon me?
He's having a nice first
He's
year.
He's having a very good first
University
year.
University of Jamestown.
Yeah. And of course, he had some. They were third in the fall, but they some players weren't there in the fall that aren't here in the spring that are making them better. For both schools, for both BCSU and for okay. UJ. So that's going on right now. A quick update on Highlander Sports, now baseball. As we talk on Tuesday, they've got a doubleheader tonight as they will be taking on West Fargo Horace for a doubleheader in the conference tonight at Charlie Brown. Softball team, they are on the road this evening. They're playing Davies at Shanley because Davies doesn't have a softball complex.
Okay.
But they're, what, a stone's throw from Shanley. They're on 25th right. Street.
Yep.
So that's where they're going to be at here tonight. Some changes. There was supposed to be a whole bunch of sports yesterday. All got rained out. Gee, I wonder why. Mm. Golf was supposed to be at Bois de Sault, but they did not golf.
Right.
They will be at North coming up here at Edgewood.
Oh.
They'll be at Edgewood Golf Course
I
on
love
Friday.
That course.
That's Edgewood's a very nice
one
course.
One of my favorites.
Track is at North tonight. Tennis is at Cheyenne. Softball again at Davies and baseball home against Horace. And just lastly, with speaking of track, they had some more state qualifiers this past weekend. Morgan Larson, who now is third in high school, and she's a sophomore, third in the 100-meter for girls, and she set the sophomore record. Mm-hmm. Derek Shape qualified for state in the 100 and 200, and Dylan Hunt qualified from the discus for state, and Katie Koch in the pole vault, and Greta Govan in the 800-meter, all qualifying for state. So that's a quick check on what's going on for local sports.
Way to go, Highlanders. Way to go, Vikes.
Amen.
Some other sports?
Yes.
T-Wolves really stirring it up in the playoffs. Oh. I really like the looks of this Minnesota Timberwolves
yeah.
team.
Yeah. Yeah, they're and you called it last week, and one of the big reasons why they're going to be successful is they're balanced, and they've got a great bench.
They're getting a lot of bench points.
Oh, they outscored the Lakers like 20-5 or something like that in bench points last week.
Naz Reid is so valuable to that team.
Yeah.
I hope they can keep him.
That's always the key.
Yeah, because he can play somewhere else.
Yep.
He could start somewhere
easily.
Else. Yeah.
Easily.
So the T-Wolves are up 3-1, and they have the Lakers, what, tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, yeah. They'll be in L.A. for game 5.
Got to have that one.
Yep. You get that series, that'd be great if they could get that series and send LeBron James home. I was trying to figure out who cries more, a 3-year-old toddler or LeBron James.
Well, between him and, oh, what's his name, the big guy that they got in the trade,
Jokic. Yeah, Doncic. I can't pronounce it.
I mean, it's always the arms out.
Arms out.
I didn't foul.
And then when LeBron threw the ball away there in the closing seconds.
Boy, I thought it was off. I thought it was off Anthony Edwards.
But they reviewed it.
But they looked from up above.
Right.
And he grabbed his arm. Yeah.
LeBron did.
Grabbed his arm, and that made him lose the ball, and it was a foul.
It was a foul.
Oh. Wow. Boy, and the crying began. Yeah, really. How about the Minnesota Wild, though? That series is tied 2-2.
Yep.
And Game 2 is tonight.
Game 5,
Game 5 is tonight. And, boy, I'd like to win that one.
Come back home and try to take the series at home?
Yeah, take it at home.
That'd
be
great.
That'd be awesome. Minnesota Twins playing a little better ball.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote this before they won last night, but let's see what they do against some stiffer competition.
Yeah.
They've got Cleveland, a 4-game set. They win the opener, 11-1.
I
wish it would have saved some of those runs.
That's got to be their best offensive performance.
Yeah,
17 hits.
17.
All 9 starters had at least one.
Yeah, yeah. And we're seeing some people hitting the ball again now. Buxton, Correa. We've got a trivia question coming for you a little bit later here. Julian hit the leadoff home run.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get to that trivia question a little bit later on the Twins. Let's see if we can stump.
13-16, game behind Kansas City.
Yes.
And 5 out of first, but only 2.5 on Cleveland per second.
Right. Now they're back at it.
Yeah.
They needed this run, and they're doing what they did last year. They had a 13-game winning streak that brought them back.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just keep this winning streak going a little
bit.
Was
it 4 in a row now and 5 of 6?
Yep, they're going to go for 5 tonight.
Right.
Tougher pitcher on the mound for Cleveland tonight, so we'll see what
their
happens.
Their ace.
Yeah. Quickly, the NFL draft.
Didn't really pay that much attention to it, to be honest with you.
What's his name from NDSU, the center?
Yeah.
Went number 18 to Seattle. No surprise there, I think.
No.
He was supposed to be picked anywhere from 7 to 30.
Yeah.
So he was in the
right in the middle.
Yeah. Did you catch?
Vikings got a couple of, got a wide receiver from Maryland.
Yeah, a quarterback. No, they traded for a quarterback.
They traded, and they got the University of Minnesota quarterback that
from
played.
From Seattle, right?
Yeah, that played 1 year from Seattle.
Right.
He played 1 year for the Gophers, and now they've got him in camp. As now whether or not he'll be a practice squad guy or a number three quarterback for him right now.
Yeah.
Hard to say what they're going to do. But they got that wide receiver from Maryland, mm-hmm. and they're thinking with Keenan McCardle, who's their wide receivers coach, mm-hmm. what he's done with Addison and Jefferson and Naylor.
Yeah.
And now if they get another guy in there, this is going to be the best wide receiving corps probably in the history of the league.
If we can hang on to all of them.
Oh, if they can hang on to them.
Let's hang on to them.
And then get that quarterback that can throw to them. The last time that J.J. McCarthy had a solid offensive line and a great wide receiving core, he won a national championship for Michigan. So who knows?
We sure hope.
We see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Cam Miller goes to the Las Vegas Raiders.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Raider.
Yep. Which is, I was surprised.
Yeah, me too, a little bit. He went down a ways.
Yeah. But I was actually surprised he got drafted. I really didn't think he'd get drafted.
Yeah, I didn't think he would either.
I thought
how about Sanders, though? He went way down.
Oh, my.
That little humbling moment there for the Sanders family.
I think a lot of people, a lot of GMs were thinking they didn't want to deal with Deion.
Well, that's it.
Because Deion has gone on record saying there are two teams I'm not going to let my son play for, and one of them is Cleveland, who drafted him. He said, I'm going to pull an Eli Manning. If the Cleveland Browns draft my son.
Yeah, that would be, that's where the parent gets in the
way.
Stay
out of it.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay. NFL draft history. We'll see how it all works out.
It does, yep. Yeah.
Senior Golf League, first one was in Castleton, froze my butt off. I did not dress appropriately for the event. It was in the low 50s with all kinds of wind.
You wore shorts, didn't you?
No, I didn't wear shorts,
okay.
But the top. I didn't have a warm enough top,
okay.
And I was freezing. I couldn't hit the ball, and it was miserable. Now, we are supposed to play in Milner tomorrow. Chance of thunder showers again tomorrow. A little breezy. Little warmer. I don't know if I'm going to do it or not.
Right.
I'm still.
And yesterday, obviously, was a wash.
We didn't have anything
scheduled. Didn't have anything scheduled.
We moved the Milner from Monday to Wednesday.
Okay.
Because they saw the forecast ahead of time, and they
said, smart.
Yeah, that was a good move.
And they're going to get rain on Wednesday.
I don't know. It's supposed to get some rain possibly in the afternoon, but it just seems, I don't know. These spring days are a little cool for golf.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. How about on this day in sports? April 29th, 1892. Charlie Riley is baseball's first. What do you think it is?
Charlie
Riley. 1892 is baseball's first. It would be in the hitting in the lineup.
Leadoff batter? Cleanup hitter?
Pinch hitter.
Pinch hitter.
First pinch hitter.
Oh.
Who would have thought? Well, Charlie Riley. 1961, ABC's World of Sports, Wide World of Sports debuts.
All right.
1961. 85, Yankees fire manager Yogi Berra, 16 games into the season, despite assurance from owner George Steinbrenner that he would be kept for the whole season.
Yeah, whatever, George.
Who was named as a replacement?
1985.
1985. Who was the replacement?
Billy Martin.
It was. Way to go. One for two, not bad. 1986, Boston Red Sox pitcher Roger Clemens strikes out 20 Seattle Mariners. We talked about that a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
1997, Kansas City Royals, Chili Davis is the 75th to do what? 75th player to do what?
Hit a home run from both sides of the plate.
It was a home run.
Oh, okay.
But he was the 75th to do what? How many home runs?
Four or three?
300.
300. Oh.
He was the first to hit. He was the 75th to hit 300.
To hit 300.
That's a lot of people, really, when you think about it. And there you have it on this day in sports. Sports birthdays today. Remember this name. Guy was born in 1918, but we remember him. great coach, George Allen.
Mm-hmm.
NFL Coach of the Year, 1967 and 71. Was with the Rams and the Redskins.
The over-the-hill gang that went to the Super Bowl in 72 and lost to the undefeated Dolphins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 1934, another birthday, Louis Aparicio.
Louis Aparicio.
Yeah.
Chicago White Sox.
White Sox. MLB All-Star, World Series 1966 with the White Sox. AL Rookie of the Year, 1956.
And what year was he born?
1934. Okay. From Venezuela.
Well, there was, I want to say it was 09, which would have made him 75.
Mm-hmm.
He hit a home run in an old-timers game.
Really?
At Washington's Griffith Stadium.
He was a great shortstop.
Yeah.
One of my favorite shortstops.
Louis Aparicio.
On this day in 1947, Jim Ryan was born. Jim Ryan, remember him?
Runner? No. Yeah.
American athlete, world record 1 mile, under 4 minutes, that first 4 minutes.
Was that the first one?
Pre-4 minute mile, yeah. Born in Wichita, Kansas. And, let's see, 1947, on this day, 1947, Johnny Miller, American golfer. Dale Earnhardt was also born on this day.
Okay.
1951, of
Senior.
Course. Yes, of course, killed in that crash in 2001. Andre Agassi.
Tennis
is 54 today.
Okay.
Justin Thomas is 31, another golfer.
Mm-hmm.
Other birthdays today. Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson.
90 today.
Is he still alive?
He's still alive. He's still, I think he's still touring,
he's
too.
Probably still touring, yeah.
He keeps that, a piece of marijuana a day will keep the doctor away, I guess.
Oh, goodness.
90.
Wow.
Tommy James.
And the Shondells.
Yes, 76 today. Jerry Seinfeld.
Okay.
Is 69. And the better looking of all of them, Michelle Pfeiffer, is 65.
65 from Michelle Pfeiffer.
Wow. Birthdays today. Some thoughts? Thought for the day. Of course.
I never have a thought.
Of course, golf. I've got some golf thoughts
all
here
right,
today.
All right.
And then we'll get into that trivia question. Some golf thoughts. Golfers aren't happy unless they are teed off.
Oh, no. You did not go there.
As in teeing off, you know? Okay. Golf is stressful. Beer relieves stress, you know.
It relieves a lot of things.
Hence the symbiotic relationship. Beer and golf kind of go together.
Oh, that's good.
All right, trivia. Here we go with the trivia. Okay, we were talking about this earlier. There are two players. Byron Buxton is a stolen base away from 100 stolen bases for the Twins, plus he has 100 home runs or better.
In his career.
So 100. There are two other players with the Twins that have that 100. Right away, I'd think Rod Carew.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Nope.
Not Rod Carew. Didn't have the home runs.
Nope.
You know? He hit for average.
He was in double figures twice in his career.
And I think Byron Buxton should do that once in a while.
Hit for average.
Yeah. He strikes out a lot.
Yeah.
And he chases that outside curve.
Right.
That slider. Just can't handle that thing.
Yeah.
But there are two other players that have accomplished the 100 or 100 or better stolen bases and 100 better home runs.
Okay. As a twin.
As twins. They are twins records.
Mm-hmm.
And they right now they share that record of the 100 or 100 or better stolen bases and 100 better home runs.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they? Do you want to take a guess?
I'm going to take a guess. I'm going to say Kirby.
Kirby Puckett is one.
The other one I'm going to say Zoilo Versailles.
No.
Okay. Then I would say, 100 stolen bases could be Larry Heisel.
No. He was an outfielder.
Mm-hmm. It could be, can I get a hint?
He played a lot like Kirby Puckett.
He played a lot like Kirby Puckett.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Outfielder?
Yes.
Tony O?
No.
Okay.
Newer than that.
Newer than that. Okay. Well, no, not Bombo Rivera.
No.
Or Hoskin Powell.
No, it wasn't Kenny Landro.
He wasn't with us long enough.
No.
But an outfielder, more recent, 100 stolen bases. And 100 home runs. So obviously he was a home run hitter. He would have had to average maybe 10 to 15 a year.
Yeah. I'm going to give you another hint.
In the 90s.
He was in Valley City for the Winter Caravan
one year. Well,
that doesn't
help me.
I know. You weren't here probably.
That doesn't help me. It'll help a lot of our listeners that remember that, but it wouldn't help me for that. And he was in the Twins Caravan. That came
I believe his number was it number 8?
Gary Gaetti?
No.
Okay.
I think it was 8 or 18. 18 or 8?
8 or 18. Dan Ford?
No.
Newer. Okay, newer. So I got to think 90s, right?
I would think 90s.
90s?
Yeah. 90s, early 2000s.
90s, early 2000s. Oh, my.
Yeah.
Marty Cordova, John Castino.
You're missing one big piece of that puzzle.
I am, I don't know why.
Yeah.
And he was an outfielder.
A lot of speed.
Did he play his entire career in Minnesota? Or did we get him as a free agent, or did he start with Minnesota?
He started
Minnesota?
With the Twins, I believe.
Oh, man, this is going to bother me now. This is bothering me. I'm wasting so much time on this one.
I know it's a name that you're going to go, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah. And
why
and
didn't I think of that?
People out there right now are yelling at their device.
Can't you hear them?
They are. They're yelling at their device saying, come on, man, if you weren't a Yankee fan,
well,
you would
it.
Know
that's
this.
It. But outfielder, good speed, great glove, made catches on the wall.
Torrey Hunter.
Yes. Torrey Hunter. You got it.
Okay. Number 48.
48 was. I knew there was an 8 in there somewhere. But
Torrey Hunter.
Torrey Hunter. And Kirby Puckett have the 100 home runs or better and 100 stolen bases or better.
And they're the only two that did that.
Only two that did that, and now we've got Byron.
Byron's
one
away.
Stolen base away. So he joins pretty good company.
Yeah, and you think about Carew. That's interesting. He played 12 years with the Twins.
I thought he would
and
add
didn't
the
get to 100.
I know.
Well, he had 14 was his maximum, and he did that twice.
Okay.
And one was that great year in 1977 when he hit 388, he had 14 homers, 100 RBI.
I thought for sure he would be in that.
But no.
And even like you mentioned, let's see who else would have been in there.
I would have thought Tony early in his career before the knees went.
Yeah. Oh.
I knew it wasn't going to be Harmon.
No. Did he have one stolen base? Maybe.
He did have a couple. Back end of double steals, probably. When they were trying to get the guy at third, and he would just walk to second.
And the catcher had a second thought or something, or just kind of spaced it off.
Yep.
Or threw it into the dirt.
Oh man.
Who's that guy tumbling down the baseline?
Who's that kid running
he was
there?
Trying to run.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, that wraps up another Toast and Jam for another week. And, again, thanks to our guest, Rocky Gable. Always fun to have him around the Thundering Saints, who do just a super, super job for Valley City and the area. Just a great friend.
And so patronize those businesses and play those games because the money goes to a great cause.
And you can win, too.
You know, win some money.
A lot of people win $500 right there.
Easily.
And a big thank you again to our executive producer, Eric Kringley.
On his way to the cities.
Oh, he is.
The Cobbers made the conference tournament in Mayak. First time in a long, about 6 years, 7 years that they made the conference tournament in tennis.
Okay.
So they're heading to St. Olaf, which I think is Northfield. No, that's Carlton. Well, they're heading to St. Olaf to watch them take on
little extra coaching.
The Olies. Yeah, probably the extra coaching. I don't think Kai needs it.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
Nah.
No.
That's pretty nice to see Concordia do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Any other closing thoughts?
Boy, I tell you, just getting to that time of year, spring sports, they're only a month left, really, a month left in the regular season for a lot of these guys and gals in their spring sports seasons. And also, maybe breaking ground shortly within the next 2 to 3 weeks for the Theraldson Family Center at VCSU.
Yes.
They've got things flagged out, and they're kind of looking at things. And this week or early next week, the turf comes out, and Shelley Ellick Field and new turf will be put in.
Really? Did not know that.
They are going to be doing that.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's been around for a while.
12 to 15 years, and that's it's coming out.
That's about the lifespan.
Stop and Go is going to be off the turf since 5 years after they got that turf is when Stop and Go went belly up.
Yeah, sold to Casey's.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Casey's bought it.
Yeah,
Casey's bought it. So they're going to have a new sponsorship on the turf at Shelly Ellig, and of course, a new logo for the conference with the Frontier next year.
Yep.
But yeah, that's going to be, I found out this weekend, it's going to get tore up this week, and they're going to be replacing it here in a few weeks.
Some really exciting times at BCSU.
It is, absolutely.
Boy, that new facility is
going to be a game changer for them. Whew. Absolutely.
Yeah, and talk about recruitment tools.
Oof.
Huh?
Oh, it's gonna help every sport, really. I mean, when they get the weight room in there, and it's gonna
softball for the games in the spring,
football, obviously, and when they practicing indoors,
there's a walking track in there. Too,
there might in the mezzanine, if not down below the mezzanine, they'll have the walking track. But it's gonna be a great facility. Can't wait.
Wow, that's great stuff. Mm. All right, wow. Oh, by the way,
how do we
check us out?
Well, let's see. I have a face. Oh, you mean, I thought you mean the show. I thought you meant,
like
long walks in the park sitting by the fire. But anyway,
wow,
I just went out the deep
end. Too much information. There.
Way too much information. We have Spotify. We have Apple Podcasts. And again, folks, when you go there, subscribe to it.
Yeah.
We do love to have you subscribe to it because then you'll get alerts when we have fresh shows. Mm-hmm. And also, that's our toastandjam.com website that you can find us.
T-O-S-T, the letter N,
jam.com. That's another place you can find us. And a big announcement next week.
Yes. We're going to be broadcasting. We're going to do the show from Alley Beans in Valley City. Come join us.
Yeah.
You know what? Come join us. Have a cup of coffee.
Yep.
And we might even throw you on the air. Who knows?
If you behave yourself,
might. Yeah. But just come and watch.
Exactly.
I mean,
we're
going to have guests there as well, and we're looking forward to that. Tim and Carol are going to be gracious hosts. I know they are. They always are, and we look forward to it.
So we'll be retiring Studio 1047 today.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to shed a tear.
It's going to be the Alley Beans Studios.
Yep.
I love it. Going to be fun.
Mm.
Anyway, for the last time from the 1047 Studios, Toast and Jam saying bye-bye.